Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Angsuman, text number 18, without any purport. Sarvakama had a son named Sudasa, whose son was known as Saudasa, was the husband of Damayanti. Saudasa is sometimes known as Mrityasaha or Kalmashapara. Because of his own misdeed, Mrityasaha was sonless and was cursed by Vasishtha to become a man-eater, Rakshasa. So then Pariksit Maharaj asks, but what, how is this? King Pariksit said, "O Shukadeva Goswami, why did Vasishtha, the spiritual master of Saudasa, curse the great soul? I wish to know of this. If it is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me." Shukadeva Goswami said, "Once Saudasa went to live in the forest where he killed a man-eater, Rakshasa, but forgave and released the man-eater's brother." In case you kill a man-eater, don't forgive his brother. That brother, however, decided to take revenge. Thinking to harm the king, he became the cook at the king's house. Don't have a Rakshasa as your cook. One day the king's spiritual master, Vasishtha, was invited for dinner, and the Rakshasa cook served him human flesh. While examining food given to him, Vasishtha Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that this was unfit to eat, being the flesh of a human being. He was very angry at this and immediately cursed Sudasa, Saudasa, to become a man-eater. Especially don't be careful when you invite Vasishtha Muni to take prasadam. Make sure it's good prasadam. When Vasishtha understood that the human flesh had been served by the Rakshasa and not by the king, he undertook 12 years of austerity to cleanse himself for having cursed the faultless king. And be careful who you curse also. Make sure you have enough evidence. Meanwhile, King Saudasa took water and chanted the Sapta Mantra, preparing to curse Vasishtha. It's not all fun and games. But his wife, Madhyanti, forbade him to do so. When the king saw that the 10 directions, the sky and the surface of the globe were full of living entities everywhere. Wow. I guess he got hungry. So Dasa thus acquired the propensity of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot for which he was known as Kalmashapara. Once King Kalmashapara saw a Brahmin couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Being influenced by the propensity of a Rakshasa, being very hungry, King Saudasa seized the Brahmin. Then the poor woman, the Brahmin's wife, said to the king, "Oh, hero, you are not actually a man-eater. Rather, you are among the descendants of Marajikshvaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Madhyanti. You should not act irreligiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please therefore return my husband, who has not yet impregnated me." "O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life." Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, "Hari Hari Vipale Janmana Gwayainu Manusha Janmad Paya Radha Krishna Bhajiya Janiya Sunya Vishaya Kainu." The body of a human being is extremely valuable because in this body one can understand the instructions of Krishna and obtain the ultimate destination of the living entity. The living entity is within the material world to fulfill the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. In the material world, one hankers for happiness. But because one does not know the ultimate destination, one changes body one after another. However, if one gets the opportunity to possess a human form of body, In this body, he can fulfill the four principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And if one is properly regulated, he makes further progress after liberation to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. This is success of life, to stop the process of repeated birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. Mamaiti, to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, taking a human body is meant for completing one's progress in life. Throughout human society, killing of a human being is taken very seriously. Hundreds and thousands of animals are killed in slaughterhouses, and no one cares about them. But the killing of even one human being is taken very seriously. Why? Because the human form of body is extremely important in executing the mission of life. In any case, we hear about eating human beings, and it's not very tasteful. I hope not. But nowadays, our current leadership in the world is preparing us to eat crickets, in case you like crickets. And the other thing along with crickets is fly lava. And they're also advertising now that eating flesh is not bad, human flesh, if you're preparing us for our next evolution. And people have already been prepared because they're eating all kinds of abominable things already. It says in China that they eat anything that flies in the sky except for a kite. Anything that crawls on the land except for a tank. Anything that swims in the water except for a Chinese boat, junk. So we're already being prepared for the most abominable species of life in Kali Yuga. But here it says that the human form of life is most valuable. Now we have to understand what makes it valuable. Generally speaking, everyone is ultimately, although we disguise our activities as something noble in the material world, as if we have so many, especially in Kali Yuga, so many people are advertised as being important to the society. Actresses, actors, construction workers, well, they're not so important. Politicians, businessmen, athletes, and as if in itself their activities have any value. But actually they're useless. As a matter of fact, every activity in the material world, according to the Bhagavatam, Shrama Evi Kevalam, Dharmaschit, Swanustita Pumsam, Vishvaksena Katasu Yat, Nopadya Yati Radim, Shrama Evi Kevalam. The duties executed or Dharma by men are so much useless labor if they don't promote attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So we may have any so-called important position in human society, but if it's not aimed at pleasing Krishna, then it's considered Shrama Evi Kevalam, just a waste of time. And even in the Hare Krishna movement, we may think one position is greater than another. So that's because of our less intelligence. We think that if you have a important managerial position and you're telling people what to do, then you're better than, say, a woman who has a little child and raising the child in Krishna consciousness. Actually, both of them are exactly equal in one sense. If the aim is to please Krishna, then Krishna takes them both equally, because both are instruments for Krishna in his service, and therefore they both get the same amount of mercy if their aim is actually to please Krishna. If you're Mother Jasoda and you're bringing up Krishna, it's not that she should leave her position, get a job somewhere, that she has less important work than someone who's managing a temple somewhere. Taking care of Krishna is actually quite important. Matter of fact, she's been doing it eternally, so it must be important. She's quite good at it, too. On the other hand, if we have a position and we don't have a service attitude, then we're more or less lost. Then we're getting ourselves into difficulty. Because, as Maharishi Shabdai said, Guru na sasyat, pita na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, svajani na sasyat. Pita na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, namoshi akyaksum paitum mrityum. That one should not become a father, a mother, a relative, a spiritual master, anyone who's worshipable, if they're not prepared to deliver the disciple from birth and death, their follower. In other words, one takes a position in spiritual consciousness simply as a servant to help elevate the person in Krishna's service. Otherwise, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amaya Aga Guruhana Taridesh. Whoever you meet, you should try to help them become Krishna conscious. That's our only business. Now, it's not that I become an initiating guru and now I become a spiritual master, shiksha or diksha, and now I have servants. Now I have so many servants who are supposed to serve me. No, actually, if one thinks like that, then one, of course, the disciples are supposed to serve, and one has to train the disciples how to serve, so there must be some practical way to train them how to serve. It's not just theoretical. But if one is thinking one is being served rather than one is serving one's spiritual master, then one becomes involved in the material conceptions of life. It is not that if I get a role of service in some kind of organization or even outside of an organization that I actually become that role. We take different roles, whether it's mother or father, or spiritual master, or husband, or wife. We take different roles simply so we can engage in service to Krishna through that role. And if we don't serve Krishna in that role, then we actually become absorbed in that misconception, and we have to take one birth after another. We have to get the karmic reactions for misusing that role. Therefore, one should take any role according to one's capacity in the realm of service. One should not take any role of especially an authority unless one is actually trying to deliver one's dependents from the path of birth and death. Unless one is actually trying to help the dependents become Krishna conscious. And that intelligence will come through the super soul if one follows the instructions of the Acharya in disciple succession. Now, if I don't have the intelligence and I take that role, then one has to be as careful as possible to act according to one's level of intelligence and not try to imitate someone on a higher level. Otherwise, then not only one will not be able to deliver one's dependence, one will actually become entangled oneself. So imitation is not a good thing. If from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Shreyan swadamo viguna paradharma sunustitat, shreydame nidanam shreyak paradharmo bayavaha. Everyone should take their position. Now, unfortunately, in modern society, people have no position. People don't even know anymore if they're a man or a woman. They think they're actually being trained, especially in America and maybe in other parts of the world nowadays. When they're children, they're trying to get them to doubt whether they're a man or a woman, whether they should try to make a transition. Even that much security you don't have. Generally, at least when I grew up, people weren't very doubtful whether they're a man or a woman. They were pretty much set in their identity, even though it was false, but at least they knew what kind of car they were driving. They may have thought of themselves to be the car. As I said, hum car, I am the car. But at least they knew that which kind of car they're driving. But nowadays, children are brought up, they're doubtful whether they have a man or a woman's body. or whether it's in transition, sometimes one day be a woman, one day be a man. So obviously even the animals don't have such a problem. So human society has become so degraded that they don't even know who they are anymore. So what to speak of training people that they're actually man-eaters, rakshasas, is the next level down. So we're being trained for the end of Kali Yuga, that's all. Kali Yuga is only 5,000 years, but it's been accelerated because at the end of Kali Yuga, everyone is a rakshasa. Although we're living in practically the end of Kali Yuga, but I don't expect Kalki to come early. He has an appointment 427,000 years. He's going to wait until that. So therefore, obviously there's a plan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behind this to reduce people to the lowest common denominator, so they'll have to take shelter of Krishna, as those who have some brains left. As Prabhupada once said, that this Hare Krishna movement will go down in history is saving humanity at its darkest hour. It looks like the sun is going down. It's getting a little dark. It hasn't reached the darkest hour, but we should try to do something. At least we shouldn't wait till it gets into the darkest hour before we wake up and try to do something. Or else some person, we're walking down the street doing Harinam and someone will jump on us, and at the end the Harinam will just be a bunch of bones on the street. We wait too long. So the point is, the only thing we can do is to find out what we're supposed to do, both externally and internally. Now internally apparently it's easy. Everyone will say, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to remember Krishna and never forget him. But also the material body has an influence on what we can remember and what we forget. According to our activities in the material world, it actually influences our mind and intelligence. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vyayato Vishyam Pumsam Sangaste Shupajayate Sangas Sanjayate Kama Krodo Pujayate. If we're not contemplating Krishna, then we'll be contemplating the objects of the senses. If we're not hearing about Krishna, if we're not engaged in Krishna's service, if we have a tendency to become attracted to some objects of the senses, then the whole process will go on by the material nature. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, forgetfulness, and our intelligence gets lost. And although we may externally try to act as a devotee, internally without intelligence, without seeing things in relation to Krishna, without understanding how to utilize his body, where to engage our mind, how to see things properly in Krishna's service, how to act as a servant of Krishna, rather than identifying or misidentifying ourselves with this gross and subtle body. Unless we have that, then we'll be engaged in material activities. Therefore, the solution is, first of all, hearing. Hearing that we're Krishna's servant, hearing about Krishna so we know who we're serving, we should know something. Hearing about the qualities of the persons we should serve, and the different levels of service, different levels of devotees, so we know how to serve them appropriately. This is knowledge everyone has to have. And ultimately to see the true equality of all living entities, both in their happiness and distress, Krishna says. We shouldn't look only externally at the living entities that we deal with. We should also understand that they're all Krishna's servant, and the material world is a huge university and educational opportunity to become Krishna conscious, that's all. That there's no other purpose of this material universe other than to offer the living entities, including ourselves, an opportunity to revive our relation with Krishna. And if we revive our relation with Krishna, then we revive our relationship simultaneously, our proper relationship with all living entities. with everyone. And if we don't revive our relationship with Krishna through serving his devotees, then our relationship with everyone is more or less wrong, is out of sync with reality. It may be in goodness, so we're not so sinful, we don't get so many reactions, we can live peacefully for some time before we die and have to come back in some other body again. Or in passion, we could work hard for accumulate wealth and prestige, and at the end become completely frustrated when we lose it all. Or we can become in ignorance, simply enjoying the most abominable things in the world, and becoming more and more absorbed in ignorance, in misconception. What is the qualities of ignorance? Karmana sukritasya hu satyakam nirmalam palam tamasatupalam dukam agena tamasapalam. So agena means lack of knowledge. Sattva sanjayate kama. Rajasi lobha evacha. Pramada moha tamaso. Bhavati jnanam evacha. The lack of bhavati jnana, lack of knowledge, madness, and illusion. Illusion means we're already in anxiety, we're already fearful. But the more we get into illusion, the more anxiety we'll be in, the more fearful we'll be. And we won't know what to do about it. We won't know how to get out of it. Bhavato jnanam evacha. Pramado moha. Pramado means madness, actually. People are piercing their ears, their tongue, putting tattoos all over their body, doing all kinds of crazy things, jumping off buildings. There's madness. Wasting the human form of life. When Prabhupada saw people were surfing in Hawaii, he said, these are sufferers. They're not surfers, they're sufferers. He was crying that they're wasting the human form of life, riding a wave, like a fish. So we have to take it seriously, or we should take it seriously, that my goal in life is to revive my relation with Krishna. I have a relation with Krishna. He's situated in my heart. He's the closest person to me. And I have to find out what he wants me to do. And when I find out what he wants me to do, I should try to do that. Easier with the body. It's just, we can direct the body somewhere. More difficult with the mind. And even more difficult with our intelligence, because we lack it. But if we try to utilize our intelligence to the best we can, then our mind will become more peaceful, our body will become more stable, and we'll be able to hear more and gain more intelligence. But right now, because we don't have intelligence, so much intelligence, therefore our minds are not peaceful. Because our minds are not peaceful, we don't pay attention to what we're hearing. And even if we pay attention a little bit to what we're hearing, we don't try to apply it. But if we try to hear with some attention, and try to remember a little bit, and then try to apply it a little bit, Krishna will reciprocate and increase our intelligence for everyone. And intelligence doesn't mean my capacity to become a big manager, a spiritual leader. No, real intelligence means, how can I revive my love for Krishna? And if we revive our love for Krishna, then we're the most intelligent person. That's called Buddhi Yoga. And if we don't, we may have so much intelligence, how to win friends and influence people, how to organize things. That's good intelligence, that's necessary. But that will not be the perfection of intelligence until Krishna reveals himself to us due to our love for him, our service attitude, our desire to please him. So that's what we have to try to increase. Everything else is superficial. Besides trying to increase our desire to please Krishna, if we increase that desire, please Krishna and his devotees, by working under the directions of the acharyas, then if Krishna is pleased with us, then we become the most intelligent people. And at the end of life, then we go back to the spiritual world, and in the spiritual world, there's no big managers. There are managers, there's Brinda Devi at Brindakund with Purnamasi sending out parrots. You're in charge of parrots. So send them out to arrange for Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan. That's the big managers, and you're in charge of parrots. Special parrots, though, devotional parrots. Everything there is simply love, and everyone is in love with each other and simply trying to increase Radha and Krishna's happiness, which increases everyone's happiness. Everyone shares equally in the happiness, whether you're the parrot, or you're the Kalpavriksha tree, or the Jamuna, or a coward boy, or a gopi. Everyone's happiness increases when Radha and Krishna's happiness increase. So that's real knowledge, how to increase their happiness. Otherwise, we may wind up to be a rakshasa, which is not, doesn't increase anyone's happiness. And besides that, eating people is not so. This prasadam is much better. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Okay, we'll stop there. Grandharaya Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.